the entire year has led us to this game. It's the Super Bowl, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk all about it, and we're going to talk about Matthew Stafford. He's done in Detroit. What's his ideal landing spot? We're going to discuss it all on the podcast today, so let's get straight to it.
Welcome to the Fantasyland Football Podcast.
Hello, welcome, welcome.
Wow.
Wow, wow, wow.
Just
wow.
We are soon to be approaching February, which is clearly the month of the Super Bowl.
That's right. The Super Bowl is on its way. There's always this weird, like, 1 week gap where people kind of don't really care about the Pro Bowl, but we kind of watch highlights of it. No one really technically tunes in.
Yeah.
I'll probably tune in. But it's a Madden Pro Bowl this year, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not really that exciting. You know, I always look forward to the Pro Bowl of being like, you know, when they do like those relay races or like the dodgeball competitions, or, you know, who has the most accuracy throwing it to the net. You know, I think those are cool.
Yeah.
Those are fun. Yeah. But other than that, it's probably going to be whack this year.
You know what I would love is to see like Patrick Mahomes do that, and then you and I try right after him. I'd love to see, you know, what would happen. All right, we're going to talk about the Super Bowl today. A great podcast, I think. This is the first podcast where I'm officially out of quarantine. If you don't know, I served a 14-day quarantine here in Sydney, Australia, and officially out. Still setting a lot of things up. We got a lot of things that we're planning.
Yeah.
Soon, at some point in the next couple of months, we'll be in a studio together, Badaki, in the same room. Mm-hmm. It's going to take the podcast to the next level. We're pretty pumped about it. Thanks for joining us. You know, however long you've been listening, we've got so many listeners that have been tuning in as of late in the off season, which has been fantastic. I'm Zach. That's Badaki. It is Thursday, the 28th of January. Might be Friday whenever you're listening to the pod. Thanks for tuning in. But let's quickly go over some need to know news, Badaki.
What is going on here?
All right, what is going on in the National Football League? This is your need to know news. Jason Witten, legend tight end for the Dallas Cowboys, not so legendary career with the Raiders, but he officially retires after 17 years, signed a one-day contract with the Cowboys just to say he could retire a Cowboy, which is cool. A lot of people do that. He left a big impact on the game, I think. 72 touchdowns with the Cowboys, that's a pretty big number for a tight end over 17 years.
Yeah, I mean, he has put his stamp, you know, in this game, in that tight end position. And for the he's a Cowboys legend, without a doubt.
Yeah, 100%. All right, while he has retired, there's a lot of controversy with both the Rams and the Packers. Apparently the Rams, I don't know if this is a smokescreen, maybe. I don't know, but apparently there's a quarterback battle looming in the offseason between Wolford and Goff. Remember, John Wolford's a guy that everyone saw his Indeed page because he wasn't playing football like a couple days before he played for the Rams.
Right.
He just was having his regular, real adult career. Is this a real thing, or do you think it's just a smokescreen to maybe light a fire under Jared Goff? I don't know. What do you think?
I think this is legit. I think it's, I don't think it's to light a fire. It's to see their options. You know, obviously they signed him to a 4-year contract. They want to see how he's going. He hasn't really been proven much ever since he went to the Super Bowl and then kind of just went downhill from there. But I think they're really going to weigh their options. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. I think Goff can be successful. I just think that he's too much in his head, and so is Sean McVay. I think they're both in each other's head.
Because they have a reputation of crazy football and trick plays and, oh, this is like revolutionary. Yeah, I get that. For John Wolford, just to be in this scenario, though.
Look at us. Hey, Look at us.
Look at us. Huh? Who would have thought?
Not me.
Surely he would have never thought he'd be in that scenario. Great position to be in for someone who obviously would have loved football, just didn't think it was a part of his career anymore.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, Padaki. Don't know if this is legit or not. It's been reported around the league. Bitter divorce is looming. A bunch of coaches and execs believe. How do you feel about that?
I wonder why. What's the bitter divorce about? Are you bitter about the call? Are you bitter about Matt LaFleur being your head coach? Like, what are you specifically bitter about? Because, you know, like, are you just mad because you didn't bring the right pieces, enough pieces for Aaron Rodgers to build around him?
It's the entire offseason, to be honest. Like, you're using your first pick, which, by the way, in the first round, so many good wide receivers this year. So many good wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of using that to help Aaron Rodgers, you actually brought in his replacement when he's already playing at an MVP level. So I think that's where the frustration started. I'm sure when Aaron Rodgers saw that they picked Jordan Love in the first round instead of helping him, I'm sure he was not like thrilled with this organization, because you just don't want someone not believing in you. And that's kind of what it felt like. I don't know.
No,
that's how I see it. I would be pissed off if I was Aaron Rodgers with those first two picks. We got Aaron Jones already and you got me. And you're spending the first two picks on a quarterback and a running back.
Yeah, it's really interesting in the thought process. I want to know what's going to happen. I want to know if they don't get a weapon for Aaron Rodgers this year, he could be really done.
In Green Bay, he could already be done. Who knows?
I
feel like this is going to be an NBA type offseason. I feel like the league's going to look completely different next year.
Yeah.
Genuinely. I feel like so many pieces are going to be moving. But that's how I see this offseason working.
Who knows? Jeff Wilson re-signs with the 49ers. I think he signed, 1 year, 2 year deal? But yeah, Jeff Wilson's re-signing with the 49ers in that backfield with all these different guys. I wonder what's going to happen with everyone else. Right?
Yeah, well, McKinnon isn't coming back.
According
That's
to
for
him.
Sure. Yeah. He made that very clear on a live stream. He's not going to be back with the 49ers. I think he said explicit no. You coming back to the Niners? Debo asked him. No. You know what I'm saying? So, all the kids, we'll keep it clean. All right. It's going to be fun to see. All right. We're going to talk about Matthew Stafford now, Badaki.
Right.
Matthew Stafford, what's been the talk his entire career? Detroit has wasted his career. This is the narrative right now, right?
Yeah.
Detroit's wasted his career. The talent is there. He's a pro's pro. He can lead a team. And I think we've seen that to be true. He has led the Lions to a lot of mediocre success in the best way possible to say that. Obviously, a lot of that had to do with really not building a great team around him. And now it's official. It's a mutual agreement to part ways for Detroit and Stafford. So we're going to talk about the ideal landing spots for both you and I. These are the spots that we believe are the ideal spots. Before we do that, let's quickly address a bunch of other rumors, just real quickly, okay? Because obviously, I feel like any team could technically be in play, except for the teams that are very solidified at quarterback. But let's quickly talk. There's been a rumor about the Texans.
Yeah.
Not sure this makes sense, Badaki. Not sure that one makes sense.
No, it definitely doesn't make sense. I don't see why they would get one and old quarterback in an organization or team that is looks like they're going to start from scratch after Deshaun is out of there. And your team, your Washington football team, I mean, look, it looks nice. It sounds nice.
Yeah.
But there's definitely
I think
better
it is
options.
Compelling. It's compelling. I don't hate that idea. I'm not sure it happens because I feel like there's a lot of other teams that are looking at Stafford as a discount to propel them into a different tier of a team. I'm sure that it will take a lot of competition. The 49ers are another rumor out there. I feel like anytime a quarterback is available, the 49ers are a rumor. I think it has a little bit to do with the fact that the 49ers have such a great history at the quarterback position. It's such a it's such a prestigious opportunity to be a quarterback for the 49ers.
Mm-hmm. But they're
Does this make sense? Yeah, apparently.
Yeah,
there's been some reports they have an insider edge.
I think it does kind of make sense. I think he has the weapons around them. George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuels, if he can stay healthy, and then the running backs in the back with Mostert and clearly Jeff Wilson staying in for another year. Look, it's going to be interesting, but I like that team.
Yeah, I don't hate it. That could happen. The other two teams I've been thrown around as well are the Patriots. Badaki, what are your thoughts on that? I think you know how I feel. It needs to be a reset button. But
right. Look, I like the idea. I think anyone under Bill Belichick is going to come in and try to flourish. Obviously, Cam Newton didn't do that. But, you know, I think this was the first time Bill Belichick had a very unique quarterback in Cam Newton. And I think Matthew Stafford has a little bit better mold in the Bill Belichick offense. You know, he's kind of, I'm not saying he's a Tom Brady, but I think he kind of plays in the similarities. He has obviously a better arm, stronger arm. But I think the pieces around there, they just need a wide receiver, really.
Yeah, there's not any pieces. That's the issue. It's like you don't have a very young team. There's not any. I mean, Matthew Stafford, this is probably his least favorite destination considering the wide receiver options. I don't think it makes sense. I think they need a full reset. The Saints is the last one, and I think this might be the actual best fit potentially because of the weapons around him.
Yeah.
For Matthew Stafford, that looks like that would be like your dream scenario, waking up as a Saint with Michael Thomas, Jared Cook, Alvin Kamara, all at your disposal. I think the issue, though, is the cap space. The Saints already have the worst cap space situation going into 2021, one of the worst in the league. They are over the cap almost $100 million.
It's crazy.
So I don't know that that's going to be something that is going to happen. Okay. Those are the rumors that we're not saying these are the best fits. I'm now going to allow you to start, Badaki.
Okay.
Who do you think is the ideal landing spot for Matthew Stafford and why?
Look, I really personally like the Carolina Panthers. If they understand, you know, they have a top eight pick right now. I think they have number eight pick in the draft. They can go with a wide receiver. But I think if they go the tight end position in the draft, they can get Matthew Stafford in the offseason, sign him. They have amazing weapons around them. Obviously, CMC behind him. They have DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel if he stays, Robbie Anderson, and then Kyle Pitts if they get a tight end in that position. I personally like Matthew Stafford going there. He's a great quarterback, enough weapons around them. Obviously, this team hasn't been to the Super Bowl since the Super Bowl. They appeared in the Super Bowl, 2015, 2016. So I think they have enough weapons. Get CMC a ring. Get Matthew Stafford a ring. Get all these guys a ring. And I think Matthew Stafford can kind of fit in and mold into that offense. I think it's going to be a bit hard for Matt Rhule to kind of bring him in, because I think Matt Rhule likes to run a little bit more RPO. He likes to run with his quarterback. But I like the Carolina Panthers.
Okay, but here's my question. So if you're using the first pick in this year's draft to draft like a Kyle Pitts, I don't hate that because I think Matthew Stafford would love that. Mm-hmm. But then what are you giving up for Matthew Stafford as the Carolina Panthers? Are you giving up your next year's first round pick and a second? You know, what's that look like for you in your mind?
Look, there's a couple different scenarios. I don't see them giving up their first round pick. It's too valuable in that position, right? In their position with all these weapons, because if Justin Fields falls, if somebody else falls that they really like, they're gonna have that option.
Zach Wilson.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that it has to be a second round and maybe a play. Maybe they give away Curtis Samuel because, you know, he's a free agent. Yeah, he's a free agent technically now. But
that's not gonna
maybe
work,
they give somebody up. I'm not really sure who, defensive player to go to Detroit or offensive lineman, something.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean, I like the idea. The only reason I'm not with this is because from the point of view from a Matthew Stafford, that's great. Your offense is going to be great, but that defense was one of the worst in the league. So I think that's kind of similar, you know, Detroit was always really bad on defense. So right. I don't know. I like the fit offensively. Let me tell you my ideal landing spot for Matthew Stafford, and that's the Indianapolis Colts. All right? Just so we're all on the same page, there's 2 years remaining on Matthew Stafford's contract. He would be 35 by the time he's a free agent again. And that's not actually too old for a quarterback of Matthew Stafford's talent, right? Mm. You could sign him probably to another three-year deal and see how he's looking after 38 years old. That's not terrible.
Right.
But let me tell you why the Colts are the best spot, in my opinion. They're my favorite landing spot for him. One, they have a really good amount of cap space in going into next year. They have $66 million of cap free. That's a real high number. And there's actually not as many people that you would think they need to re-sign that are crucial to this team. That's a great place to be in. They have a decent wide receiver core, which rookie Michael Pittman Jr. probably will be leading at this point next year. They'll probably allow him to take that next step. They could re-sign T.Y. Hilton if they wanted to, if it's an affordable contract. Otherwise, you can probably find a different wide receiver in the draft or in free agency to kind of complement Michael Pittman Jr. They got Trey Burton there, and I think he's kind of a undervalued piece in the red zone for a quarterback. And I know Matthew Stafford loves to find a tight end in the red zone. And then the running game. You know, you don't have a Christian McCaffrey, right? But you have a Jonathan Taylor, and you have a couple, maybe a Nyheim Hines. I think that's a really good situation for Matthew Stafford to step into. The last thing, the Colts offensive line is a top seven offensive line. They were ranked seventh overall according to PFF this year. If you're Matthew Stafford and you want to extend your career, you want to have some longevity into like what Tom Brady's done, Drew Brees, O-line should be a really important thing that you look at. Can you be protected? You don't want to go somewhere and just continually be sacked. So I think the offensive line would be a big factor for him. I'm not sure that he's going to be able to decide exactly where he goes, but I imagine that the Lions would try to appease someone that's been so good to their franchise.
Right.
And then the last thing I'll say is the defense. The defense, as we know, was one of the reasons that this team was so good this year. It was kind of like, man, that defense is elite. Can Phillip Rivers do enough to maybe win some games for them? You know what I mean? That was kind of the storyline.
Yeah.
And I know you said this previously on a podcast, but do the Colts win in that wild card game versus Buffalo if Stafford was behind center? Do they win that game?
Yeah, I think so. I believe so. I like him. I like him there. I think the only listening to you talk about it, I still think that they're like too short of weapons. I get Trey Burton's undervalued.
Yeah.
I still think that he's injury prone, okay? T.Y. Hilton, like I said, they get rid of T.Y. Hilton. It's just Pittman and JT. There's still so many gaps in that offense where, I guess, compared to mine, you have three decent wide receivers. You have literally the best running back in the league, or one of the best running backs in the league. It's kind of hard to put valuation.
I get what you're saying, but I think Stafford is the kind of guy who you want to give him weapons, but you don't have to give him the best weapons. He can still go out and put up 300 yards and three touchdowns with only a Michael Pittman and a JT, you know? And I'm sure that if they were to make that move, they would sign a low-key free agent. Maybe they would add a Corey Davis. They have the cap space to kind of expand their team in that scenario. Yeah. Here's my trade offer, if you will. If I am the Colts, I could send my 2021 first-round pick or my 2022 first-round pick for Matthew Stafford. I'm not sure, and again, this is a hard trade to gauge. I'm not sure that Stafford's going to cost much more than that. A first-round pick, maybe two second-round picks. I feel like he will maybe be the best discount this offseason for a team like the Colts, like the Panthers, like the 49ers, or the Saints if they could figure out the cap.
Yeah.
I think the Colts are the right fit for him. Man, imagine going from your entire career just knowing that your defense is never going to keep up to coming to the Colts and being like, hey, this is a pretty damn good defense. Yeah. I can do something here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where he goes, what's going to happen in the offseason. I'm pretty excited of where all these quarterbacks, Deshaun Watson, Matthew Stafford, who else is a free agent? You know, like, we're excited about the new guys that are going to come in as well and how that's going to be mixed up. What if Matthew Stafford goes to a team that gets a free agent quarterback? I mean, not a free agent, but a rookie quarterback, just so they can kind of mold that young guy in. It's going to be interesting.
No, that's a good point. There's a tweet that my dad sent me, actually, funnily enough. And my Mac isn't updating, but there's a list of all the free agent quarterbacks or quarterbacks who could potentially be on the move, quote unquote. And the list is crazy. This could very well be an NBA offseason, with all the moves that could be happening. But all right, guys, the best way to keep up with all things NFL or fantasy football is to follow us on our social media accounts. The easiest way to find our social media accounts, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. We're actually got a couple of videos that are popping off on TikTok. Would love if you could follow us there. YouTube, if you want to subscribe on YouTube. Facebook group, where you can be a part of our community there. All the links that you need are in this one link, and it's solo.to/fantasylandfootball. Again, that's solo.to/fantasylandfootball. You'll be able to find every link you need to the podcast, to all of our social media accounts there. And yeah, we'd love to have you follow us along in whatever way possible. All right, Padaki, let's talk about Super Bowl Sunday.
Excuse me, can I talk to you for a minute? Excuse me, can I talk to you for a minute?
All right.
Oh man,
we're here. We've actually made it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
this is the last game of the season. It's kind of sad.
Yeah, it is kind of sad. I was about to say it's the last game of the season. It's gonna be no more football. It's gonna be all about the off season. All about these new young guys coming in. Wow.
Yeah, and when I think about it, it does feel like football. It's so long in between seasons. But man, like right after this, we're talking about the draft. And then the draft is here. And then we're talking about Dynasty. And then we're talking about mock drafts of fantasy. And it's going to happen so much quicker than we think it is. And we've got a bunch of things that we're planned on talking about in the podcast in the offseason that we're pumped for. But obviously, it is the Kansas City Chiefs. And I can say they are at, because for the first time ever... You know what I mean? For the first time ever, there is a home field advantage in the Super Bowl. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the first team in the history of the NFL to play at home in a Super Bowl. Is that a massive advantage for this team?
I think so. Absolutely. I believe so, because one, every time they score, those cannons are going to go off. They have that ship there. They have the city of Tampa. Literally, they're in the heart of Tampa. And they're going to be roaring at Raymond James Stadium. You have the Buccaneers fans are going to be tailgating around the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Stadium or Raymond James Stadium. It's kind of crazy. I guess I kind of understand it because I've been to that stadium. I used to live in Tampa, and I kind of understand how that city works and how like their fans kind of navigate. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be absolutely crazy.
Are you telling people right now that you're going for Tampa Bay?
Yeah. I say loud and proud that I'm going for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Like I said, I got some history with them. I lived there.
Do you?
I
actually went to school. I mean, it's crazy that this history is coming out now. You know, it's like...
look. Jokes. I lived in Tampa for a couple of years. You know, I did a couple of years in high school in Tampa.
Brooklyn, Tampa Bay. You've been all over the world.
I've been all over. I used to go to school. I went to college right across the street from Tampa Bay. Literally, I used to park in the parking lot where you go to watch the games.
Raymond James Stadium?
Yeah, I used to have to park in the stadium to work.
All right,
to school.
I'll give it to you.
But look,
I got no reason not to believe you. So
I like the Bucks. I mean, it's a fairy tale story. The first team to go in the Super Bowl with a home field advantage. Tom Brady's now on the team.
It's also the reason I'm so hyped about it, that's a cool storyline, but I feel like it's the GOAT versus the young GOAT. And
oh my goodness.
I mean, this could be a big game for who we decide is the GOAT in the future. You know, this could be a scenario where it's like, hey, you know what? Tom Brady, he got his last seventh ring. Maybe he, you know, he's going to play again next year. I don't know if he'll make the Super Bowl. It's really hard to do that. But let's say Tom Brady wins this game against Patrick Mahomes, right? And he finishes with seven rings. And then Patrick Mahomes goes on and he wins seven rings, for example.
Right.
The conversation might always be, the legacy might always be, well, Tom Brady did it when he was 43 years old against Patrick Mahomes with all the weapons that he had. You know, this could be an actual, like, start to a conversation in the future. If Patrick Mahomes wins all those Super Bowls, this could be a massive, massive game to determine the quote-unquote GOAT.
I don't know. I personally, this is, I see where you're coming from. I think we had this conversation with some of the boys. I think that Tom Brady is the GOAT. Okay. He has done it already. Until Patrick Mahomes gets six rings and he says, you know what? I'm going for Tom Brady's number. That's when I'd be like, you know what? Mahomes is in talks of being the GOAT. I think he is the totally. GOAT.
But that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying, though. Like, that scenario, this game could be the one thing. You know, when people talk about LeBron and Jordan, you know, like, there's always different conversations. Like, no, this is why this person's a GOAT. This game, Tom Brady, 43 years old, beats a young Patrick Mahomes in his early 20s. And against a team with Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Tyrann Mathieu on the other side, Chandler Jones. This is the conversation people could be having in 10 years. Yeah, but Tom Brady beat Patrick Mahomes with that team. Right. You know what I mean?
His, that could his be the team's conversation. Good too. He got weapons. He got, you know, Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown, Mike Evans, and then JPP on the other side, White on the other side. Bro, he got people. He got people too. Leonard Fournette? Sheesh.
We got shooters.
Bro, this. Let's be honest. You know, we started the season and we was like, the Bucks are stacked. We said it.
Yeah.
We said the Bucks are stacked. Yeah. KC is stacked. I don't know why we didn't really think about it and put those two together. I mean, I think we probably did in some point in time. We but did. Like,
I remember asking if you thought Bucks were a Super Bowl contender. You said no.
I said they were my bottom. If there was top three, there was three. It was Texans. Sorry, not Texans. Texans. sheesh. It's a T word. Titans. It was Titans.
You just said it's a T word, guys. It's a T word.
Today, Junior.
I think it said it was the Titans, somebody else, and then Bucks. I forgot who was the middle team. But that was my three teams. I told you this off podcast earlier in the week. I was just like, I get it. You know, like, the Chiefs could win the Super Bowl. They're the best team. That's like when Tom Brady was on a roll winning Super Bowls back to back. And you come into the next season and you say, who's going to win the Super Bowl?
It's really not, because Patrick Mahomes has only won one Super Bowl. We're not in a place where Patrick Mahomes has three Super Bowls already. And no, you're like, oh my gosh, can this dynasty end? That's not the place of fandom we're in yet. He's only won one Super Bowl.
I'm already there. I'm already there because I've already seen it.
You need patience. You need more patience, bro.
I've seen it. I've seen it already with Tom Brady. Patrick Mahomes is doing some other incredible stuff. I'm already annoyed that Patrick Mahomes is so good, just like when Tom Brady won his his second one. I was like, bro, this
is, you know what they call that? A hater. Yeah, hater. You need some drink some hater aid.
All I know is that, you know, Tom Brady lost two Super Bowls against the New York Football Giants and Eli Manning.
Oh, my God. Somehow we have talked about the Super Bowl, and you have led us to Eli Manning right now on the podcast.
Two-time
we're talking
Super Bowl
about
champion.
Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, and we're now talking about the Eli Manning Super Bowl wins. Okay. All right, what's some predictions that you have for this game? I want to give some Super Bowl MVP predictions, and I don't want us to choose the obvious. Oh, Tom Brady's the GOAT. He's going to win the Super Bowl MVP. Yeah, I mean, that could happen, obviously. Patrick Mahomes could win the Super Bowl. Now, who are the low-key Super Bowl predictions for the MVP this year? Who's someone that is an X factor in this game that could be the difference between a team winning or losing?
Look, for me, it has to be, well, I predict the Bucks to win. So when they win and hold that trophy, the guy that's going to be announced, and they're going to say, you know what? Leonard Fournette, come up. Okay, and then Leonard Fournette's going to walk up. He's going to rock up. And he's going to be the guy. I think Leonard Fournette is the X factor here. I think he is going to set apart this running game. I believe they're going to shut down everybody. You know, they're going to shut down Mike Evans. Antonio Brown apparently is going to play. Chris Godwin is going to play. And Leonard Fournette is going to be that X factor. He can catch the ball and he can run the ball. He was fantastic in college. He was fantastic when he got drafted. That's why he was, you know, what was he? Top three, top four draft pick? Was he number one?
He was top six. He went to the Jags, I think, around five. Yeah, six.
So, I mean, it's Leonard Fournette. The man deserves it. He's been struggling. He was struggling in Jacksonville with the Jags. Yeah. Now he goes.
Injuries as well. Those injuries were plaguing his career.
Yeah, absolutely. I get it. But look, I think this guy is extremely talented. It's his time to win. I'm glad that he's going. One, he's going to go to a Super Bowl. He's going to experience that. I think he still has some stuff in him. And Leonard Fournette is going to be that guy.
All right. He's got that secret sauce. He's got that stuff. All right. So you're saying the Bucks are going to win. We'll get to score predictions. And we're going to talk, obviously, a little bit more in detail about a couple other things. But, okay. Here's my scenario. Obviously, if you listen to the podcast, I said the Chiefs were going to win. I said it all year. I said they're going to win the Super Bowl. Sure, but if you're going to ask me a question, I'm going to tell you the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl. They're the most talented team. Am I from Kansas City? Did I live there for like 10 years? Yeah, but that's regardless, okay?
Oh, yeah, Chiefs, yeah. It's whatever. I mean, did I live in Tampa? I mean, did I park in the Raymond James?
How long did you live in Tampa Bay?
I lived in Tampa for 9 years.
Are you exaggerating? Because you look like you're just exaggerating.
I've lived there, maybe not nine, maybe seven.
Okay, so that's a big, 2 years is a big difference. Anyway, you can see on YouTube, Badaki's, he's exaggerating his face to try and figure out. Anyway, all right. So here's my scenario, right? The Chiefs win the Super Bowl. It is an epic, epic Super Bowl. We'll get to score predictions in a second. And like you said, the Lombardi Trophy, they're bringing up the Lombardi Trophy. And then Tyreek Hill is walking up. And you know how like they're like, hey, where's Tyreek Hill? Where's Tyreek Hill? And then all the players are, yeah, yeah. And then they tap him as he walks up. So here's my scenario. Tyreek Hill, you are the Super Bowl MVP. What an X factor. This guy, he can run the ball off jet sweeps. He can return kicks if he wants to, if Mecole Hardman's not going to figure out how to hold on to the ball. He can do screens. This guy is probably the biggest X factor, in my opinion, in this game. So he comes up, they're like, Tyreek Hill, congratulations. You are the Super Bowl MVP. Normally, they would say, what are you going to do? I'm going to Disneyland. But Tyreek Hill is going to say,
tell him to bring me my money.
Yeah! Tell him to bring me my money. He's going to get a nice little paycheck for being the Super Bowl MVP. Look, he's an X factor, okay? I think they're going to go to him early. They're going to go to him often. There's a bunch of talk about Carlton Davis. He's been talking a lot about how he's shutting people down. He's been talking a lot to Michael Thomas specifically on Twitter. But regardless, I think Tyreek Hill is a different breed. This dude, a normal wide receiver could catch the ball off a screen and get 6 yards, right? Decent play. Cooper Kupp type. Right. Maybe not Chris Godwin. He's elite, but Tyreek Hill's different. That 6 yard play with one move, he could turn into a 50 yard play. This guy could easily lead anyone in yardage in the Super Bowl. And I think because of the coverage that will be looking at Travis Kelce, because you still got Sammy Watkins, Mecole Hardman, Clyde out of the backfield, it's hard to like focus in on one guy on this offense. Tyreek Hill, I think, will be the X factor in this Super Bowl, and he's going to be a big reason as to why Patrick Mahomes has, you know, his second ring. He's going to try and fill out his left hand first. I think Chiefs win this game. So let's talk about predictions, and then score predictions. Do you think this is a close one? Is it a shootout? Does the defenses show up?
I think defenses show up. It's going to be a weird game. It's going to be defenses show up, but it's still going to be a high-scoring game. Defense is going to show up in the right times. By the way, just I don't know if you remember, Tyreek had like what? I think he had 3 touchdowns against Tampa that last time. He had like that was his high scoring fantasy week, by the way. Like he was like 50 something points.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen again. Okay.
Of course that's not going to happen.
You know, there's no way, first of all, there's no way that the Bucs are going to let Tyreek pop off like he did in the Super Bowl, okay?
I mean, I'm sure they planned to let him pop off the last time, right? I'm sure they were like, hey, let's not game plan for this guy. Just let him do whatever he wants.
Anyways, I think it's going to be one of those games, you know? It's going to be... the way I'm seeing it, Patrick Mahomes comes on the field first. He's going to drive. He's going to score, okay? Tom comes in. He's gonna drive. He's gonna score. The second drive, the Bucs are gonna stop him. Tom's gonna score. And then it's just gonna go back and forth. I think it's gonna be a back and forth thing. Defense is gonna show up in random times, but also in clutch times. Both of these defenses are pretty good. Both these quarterbacks are pretty good. Everyone on each team is amazing.
Yeah,
it's kind of hard to put a number to it, but for me right now, if I had to say a spread, maybe I would say maybe 6 points. The whoever wins the Super Bowl is going to win by a touchdown or a field goal. It's going to be decided on a field goal mid game or something.
Okay. Yeah. So maybe potentially the biggest thing we haven't talked about yet is the head coaches, right? We got Bruce Arians on one side and he's been a great offensive mind and he's been just a great coach in this league. And you got Andy Reid on the other side. And maybe because there is so much talent on each side, right? We could read out the rosters for each team and it would be like an all-star team both sides. It'd be like we're playing the Pro Bowl and the Super Bowl. But maybe that is a big factor. Like who gets the best of who? Last year, obviously Andy Reid got the best of Shanahan. Can he do it again? He's got enough weapons to do it. Will he put the right game plan in? And will the players execute that game plan correctly?
Right.
I don't know. I think maybe that's where the Chiefs might have another advantage is because they have Andy Reid over there telling them what to do.
Look, I see it. I think what's crazy is that it sounds weird to say, but Tom Brady, as much as Bruce Arians is the coach, Tom Brady is the man with experience in this type of game. In the caliber of games, he's lost Super Bowls and he's won Super Bowls
for sure
in high fashion, then in whatever low fashion. I think this guy,
Tom Brady, wearing flip flops, no fashion, it don't matter.
Yeah,
right.
I think Bruce Arians brings something. He's like, hey, I think he's won a Super Bowl with a team. I don't think he's actually won a Super Bowl as a head coach, but he's won a Super Bowl as a staff member on a team. But I think it's gonna be Andy Reid and Tom Brady, which sounds weird. Tom Brady is the head coach for this team, for all these players in this offense, and
right.
Maybe it's a bad scenario, but I don't know if you understand that. But I don't think Bruce Arians plays a big factor. Andy Reid does absolutely, but yeah. Tom Brady is coaching every single person on this team right now because I don't think anyone on this team has been to the Super Bowl besides what?
No,
JPP.
Well, no one would have anywhere near that experience.
That's what I'm saying. Tom Brady, I'm trying to think of somebody on defense. The first person that came to my mind on this team is Jason Pierre-Paul. Nobody else on.
Did he go to the Super Bowl before he lost his finger due to a firework accident or after?
Yeah. He lost it. I think he lost it the year we won the Super Bowl on like the 4th of July, the year that we won the Super Bowl, I think.
Yeah. Right. But, so he got a little too wild.
Yeah,
this is not an ad, but make sure you practice safe firework practices when the 4th of July hits. Okay, well, that's interesting. So I'm going to go ahead and throw out my score prediction. I think this is a big game. I think the Chiefs will win. I think it's going to be 38-31. Chiefs win. If that happens on a last-second drive or a last-minute drive, Patrick Mahomes, that would be awesome. But I just think there's too much firepower on this Chiefs side. I know that there is on the Bucks side as well. The X factor might be the Bucks defense. Who knows? But I just don't think that they're going to be able to game plan around every single guy on this Chiefs offense. So I'm personally going to take the Chiefs. You're taking the Bucks. We'll see what happens,
look,
right?
I'm taking, I'll be honest with you. I'm taking the Bucks because I have, like I said, I have some history. If you had told me who's going to win out of this team, I would have said the Chiefs. I'll probably still say the Chiefs. But
well, what are we even talking about then?
I like the Bucks. I mean, it's boring. You know, who do you pick? Oh, I pick the Chiefs. Who do you pick? I pick the Chiefs too. Cool.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
I definitely believe the Bucks. I like the Bucks. I want them to win for another Tampa Bay first down. That's what's going to be happening.
I actually feel like the Bucks made the best uniform move in the offseason. Those uniforms are clean.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know who's going to have a new uniform? Who? The Bengals.
Really?
Apparently they're announcing new uniforms in the offseason. Yeah.
Okay. Last thing we want to talk about, it, and it's not really related to the game pretty much at all, but is the halftime show, just so you guys are aware. The Weeknd is doing the halftime show, and I don't even know how many people are going to be at the Super Bowl. This is unprecedented times, right? The NFL announced that 7,500 workers, you know, who worked in the pandemic and helped people out would be at the Super Bowl. They were going to give them tickets, but Weeknd, is it going to be, you know, in the top ones, or is it going to be in the bottom ones that we've seen halftime show-wise?
I think it's going to be in the weird one columns. The Weeknd,
right?
he's kind of gone off. You know, he's very like gory and weird. He's very cartoony-ish now.
Yeah,
His music is cool, and I like him. But I think people are going to put him in that category. Also, okay. Super Bowl commercials, Doritos, Bud Light. Who else?
That's something
big...
that I always forget. And you know what? We're definitely going to have to make sure we find an American stream for this. I'm not watching Australian ads.
Oh, bro, I got the NFL Game Pass. We got American commercials.
Oh, bro, don't even stress. Don't even worry about it. Mental. all right, guys. Well, we'd love to hear your Super Bowl predictions. We're obviously going to post about the Super Bowl this week. And we're going to give everyone a chance to say exactly what they think. So you can head to our Instagram to do that. Again, that link shows all of our social media accounts. And we got a lot of things planned in the offseason, Badaki. Why don't we quickly, to end the show, talk about Patreon? Why do we keep talking about Patreon? Why does it mean so much to us? What is it about?
Yeah, patreon.com/fantasylandfam. If you love what we're doing, if you love our podcasts, our Instagrams, our TikToks, our YouTube, whatever content that we create and put out to you, and our fantasy football advice, you know, that's the best way to support us, to say, hey, guys, you're doing well. And here's a way that you can support. Like I said, patreon.com/fantasylandfam. We have three different tiers that you can kind of look at and see where you can fit. We're going to hopefully add new tiers into that. We have Facebook groups. We have everything. We're creating a community so that you guys in fantasy football, whether you're new, you're old in fantasy football, maybe just in the middle, you just won your first championship. It's a great way, just once again, to support the show and to show love because we love doing this.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we've got a podcast really soon, tomorrow. We're going to be talking... It's been a little bit of a weird week because I moved into a new place and we're trying to figure out. I just got a PC and sold my PS5. I got abused online because people were not happy about me selling my PlayStation 5. But I did it and I got a PC. And we got some big plans in the offseason. It's been a crazy week, so we didn't have our normal podcast schedule. We'll be back on next week. Tell us what you want to hear about in the offseason. We've got our own plans, but we're curious to hear what people want to hear about.
Yeah.
Don't miss a podcast tomorrow. We are going to be talking about tight end busts and breakouts of the year. I'm excited for this pod. These busts and breakouts have been one of my favorites so far.
Yeah.
And I know people have said that they've enjoyed them, so don't miss that. All right. Have a great rest of your day. We will see you tomorrow. See you there.
See you there.
Hey, yeah, you.
the one listening to this podcast, you made a good decision today. Keep making those good decisions. You know what? Go ahead and do a little dance right now, like no one's watching. Because you deserve it.